Hello and welcome back to the Parallax Perspectives podcast. My name is Daniel Lawson and thank you for being here. If it's your first time tuning in, I really appreciate you joining in these epic conversations that we're opening up together. And of course, if you've tuned in previously, welcome back. This is another awesome episode where we're going to be continuing our previous session on goal setting. So transformational growth was a module that I created previously. I think it was in the Adventurepreneur Accelerator program. And the talking points were around, well, who it is that we need to become. And more specifically, the missing steps, if you like, that many people aren't even aware of that exist when it comes to setting and approaching really great goals. So in this episode, it's a privilege. I feel very privileged to be joined by Doug Bennett. He has been someone that's been in the financial industry or advisory and the lifestyle design space, helping people achieve their goals for over 35 years now. He's got such an incredible body of wisdom and knowledge to share. He's the author of Think Simple and Win Big. And he's now become the goals guy with multiple trademarks in the space, and it's been a privilege for me to join him in his podcast, Goals Do Come True. And this conversation, Doug really shares insights and stories from his many years, his decades of experience in helping people create financial freedom, a lifestyle design, and some of the nuances that he's discovered over his time in diving into the space of goals. So please give it up for Doug as we dive into this conversation together, and I trust that you'll get so much value out of it. I want to jump straight in. I know you've got so much value to share. I want to jump straight in, if that's cool with you. You have been in the financial advisory and lifestyle design space and helping people for over 35 years or something like that now. You're the author of Think Simple, Win Big. Awesome. Thank you so much for all the value that you're providing. You're even known as the goals guy now, with multiple trademarks in the space. You've got the podcast Goals Do Come True, which I've had the privilege of being part of in the past. I love everything that you're sharing on goals. So thank you for coming and joining us here on this podcast, because when I was considering in the last episode, we were unpacking what I know, very limited amount on goals. And I was like, I got to get Doug on here to share his wisdom. So thank you for being here. My opening question, I'd really love to understand, if there is one, a pivotal point in your life, in your career, where goals suddenly, if suddenly, became your thing? Well, how did you decide that goals is going to be your thing and you're going to be known as the goals guy? When did that happen?
Well, I started on this goal setting malarkey, right? Because that's what most people think. Is it real? In 2004. Okay. I started writing my goals down on a day-by-day basis because I hadn't seen because it wasn't about then. I'd listened to a cassette tape, so that ages me, which says that you need to, from Brian Tracy, that you need to write your goals down on a day-by-day basis, right? So I started that in 2004, and I kept up with the idea I get bored really easy. You know, most entrepreneurs do that. We've got shiny things that we go chasing after, and naturally, with the phones these days, we're easily distracted for hours. So I got distracted. The little booklet, you know, I managed to do it for, I don't know, two or three weeks, I suppose. And the little book, and I've got the original here, actually. This is my little original book that I wrote the goals in. Now, I can only say that I started writing them in 2004 because my goal, or one of the goals in there, is I have completed the London Marathon, which, bearing in mind, to start with, I could run about 200 yards and then I would throw up. Wow. I completed the London Marathon in 2005. So it was obviously before 2005, right? And I didn't have the idea or the goal in 2000. So, you know, I knew it was just like a relatively short period beforehand. And the little goals book got tucked away in the drawer. And I found it, I don't know, 5 or 6 years later. And miraculously, I'd completed 10 out of 11 of the goals that I'd written down all those years previously. It, you know, over 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I feel that it's criminal that I didn't keep it up. Because where would I be if I'd kept the goals going all the way along? And, you know, as you achieve them, you get a better idea of what you're capable of. And you start the goals in the first instance. You start them, you know, they're more modest. You know, I'm a brilliant timekeeper, which you alluded to before we started, because I was bang on time. But I've been watching my clock for like 10 minutes beforehand. So I was poised and ready 10 minutes before this was due to kick off, because that's what a good timekeeper is, right? You've got to be there 10 minutes before and be ready, willing and able. And that serves so many purposes in itself as well. But so you start off with little goals, and then once you achieve those, I mean, the first goals that you write down, they've got to be eminently achievable so that you can start believing in the process. And then you can start getting bigger and bigger and bigger goals. But I've not answered your question yet. But 2008, we all know that we had the global financial crisis, right? 2 years before then, both my parents passed away within 12 weeks of each other, aged 64 and 63, which is no age, right? I'm now 60, so, you know, it's like, whoa, I'm just getting goosebumps thinking about it. You know, I'm 4 years away from when my father passed away. But anyway, with the inheritance that I got, I bought a massive house that was far too big for the income that I was earning at the time. But I had a belief, and I'd found, you know, I hadn't found the goals book at that time. But anyway, you know, we know what happened. I bought a new house in 2007, and in 2008, the world stopped, right? I was a mortgage broker. I was doing 10, 15 mortgages every month, writing the life insurance that goes alongside. And then so that was, you know, 10 to 15 a month. And then in 2008, I think I did about 25 in the whole year. So I started robbing Peter to pay Paul, and, you know, started racking up a little bit of debt. You move it around the market, they send you a new card, and, you know, you borrow a little bit more. And before I knew it, come the tail end of 2010, I was six figures in debt. Not great for a financial advisor. But fortunately, you know, I had an understanding group that was looking after me in that arena. So they allowed me to carry on trading, and they supported me. And then I found the book. And I thought, you know, I've completed 10 out of 11 of the goals that I had written back in 2004. So maybe I needed to start adopting this again, because obviously I'd taken my eye off the ball. Things had gone to rat shit, for no other better word. And so I thought, right, I need to reintroduce. So I started reintroducing, and my income goal got bigger, and it started off at 100,000. And I don't need to use the currency here. It serves its purpose. 100,000, that was turnover. Then it was 100,000 profit. Then it was 100,000 for me personally out of the business after the running costs and all the rest of it. So the 100,000, and I call it the 100,000 club, the 100,000 was a good figure that served as a message to my brain to, you know, keep going, keep improving at realistic levels, you know, because 100K in the bank, when you're running your business, you know, it's probably 150K turnover, you know, because you've got 50K's worth of costs and the like. So, and the first time it's 100K turnover, so your net profit's probably 50K, you know. So that's where it kicked off. And then gradually over time, you know, the 100 turned into 200, then it turned into 250, and then it turned into 500,000. Mm. And in 2019, I hit that figure.
Nice.
So,
well done.
You know, but all the other little mini goals along the day. Yeah. I mean, they just, you know, it's just you've got to tell yourself what it is that you want to try and achieve. As if you've already completed it. All of my goals. I have completed the London Marathon. I own a Harley Davidson 1200 custom Sportster. You know, I have owned a 1200 custom Sportster. I've owned a Fat Boy. I've owned a Pan America. And we'll come to what happened to that later on, no doubt.
I really love the story that you share. It sounds like you becoming the goals guy is maybe, and I'm speculating here, it sounds like you became the goals guy for yourself and helping you on this journey from what was in debt to now thriving. And I'm sure, like everyone, you've got challenges in your own life, but have proven to yourself that you can go out and set these goals and achieve them. What I heard through that story that I really love and resonate with is, so you achieved in the little book, you achieved the goals, and then, and it was like the consistency, and then at some point, maybe the mundane, this is what I find with goals myself, is the mundane takes over, lose the way, stop achieving the goals, and at some point return to it. And then we see that when we overcome the mundane and the challenge of sticking with it, then now the goals start coming back on track and the goals start flowing into outcomes and results once more. We're like, ah, this process does work. I really love that story that you share, because it's just such a testament to showing up consistently.
Well, and that's the thing. The other thing about having the goals is it gives you the, not the incentive necessarily, or well, it gives you the incentive, but it also gives you the passion, and it enables you to overcome the obstacles that you are undoubtedly going to come up against. No business has ever run smoothly. Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
I think that's the metaphor for life too, right?
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, in the goals there are personal goals as well. So it's not just all money. It's about getting the balance of everything. And you know, if the goal isn't suiting you, or isn't, you know, getting you excited about things, then change it.
Yeah, for sure. So there's so many reasons why goal setting is profoundly important. I think this conversation on one side of the spectrum isn't being talked about enough, you know, like around the dinner time table. I never had that with my parents, with my friends, like maybe a little bit in school that I didn't pay attention to or didn't care about. On the other side of the spectrum, maybe it's spoken about in places we don't care about too much, like in, for me at least, in jobs I didn't like, or areas of life that I didn't even really care to improve in, so I didn't listen. There is so much evidence to why goals are profoundly important. In your work and in your podcast and all the people that you've worked with and helped, has it been something that's really surprised you or stood out on your journey that you may not have necessarily expected when it comes to goals and the benefits of goals?
Well, the crazy thing is, right, it's insanely simple, right? That's the thing. You can make a huge difference to your life with something that is insanely simple. So that would be my thing. I don't know if that answers the question, but it's like, we all need to have goals in our lives. And I think a lot of the mental health issues that people have are because they have no direction for themselves. They are comparing their set of circumstances with everybody else, we see the highlight reels of everybody's life in the reels on Facebook and Insta and, you know, TikTok. Okay, we don't see the real stuff. But I think you can make a big, huge difference to yourself if you have some goals. And it is as simple as writing them down. And you have to write them down. That is the big message that I got from interviewing over 125 business owners, you know, entrepreneurs, gurus, you know, coaches, etc. It was all, they wrote it down in 95% of cases. And it's like, you can have an app if you want. You know, in the Wealth Tribe group that I've recently created, is like, we ask people to write down 5 goals on a day-by-day basis. You should have 10 goals, but 5 goals are the sort of things that people are prepared to share with you. You know, if you're overweight, right, you don't necessarily want to share what weight you're aiming for if it's obvious in your profile picture that you're a mile away from that figure, you know. So there's stuff that, you know, we don't expect people to share, or their income figures that maybe they don't really want to share with the world. But there's other stuff that really, you know, the possessions that they want to achieve, or the lifestyle that they, the work-life balance with their family that they want to achieve, or the holidays that they want to go on, you know. We encourage people to share daily. And the ones that, I mean, it is typical. You get to a stage where it's like, oh, this is a bit tedious. So I don't do it anymore, right? And that's common. That's common with everything. I mean, 6 weeks into the new year, we've got, you know, we've got the brand new year, 2024, coming up in, how many weeks? 5 or 6 weeks now, right? But 5 or 6 weeks into 2024, most of people's goals will have fallen by the wayside, all their New Year's resolutions. And so it is typical in that regard. But you've got to stick with it. And you know, some people say it's, you know, manifestation, law of attraction, that's the way. Okay? But, you know, I guarantee that if you sit on a beach wanting to become a digital nomad, and you send that energy out into the world, unless you work, it's not going to happen.
I tried that. It wasn't very effective.
No, you've got to work. There's this thing called work, right? And you've got to put in 120% into the work. Then the manifestations will happen.
Yeah. I love going back to the first message. All of what you're sharing, it totally resonates. I'm sitting here going, yep, I feel that. I've tried that before and nothing happens until we take action. That message around keeping it really simple, I love how that aligns with your book. The title of your book, Think Simple, Win Big. It's this thing that humans, we love to do, overcomplicate things. And goals really don't have to be that complicated, right? I don't know, tell me if you resonate with this. I think that as a human species, if you like, overcomplicating things that we don't want to take care of, maybe to bridge that the boredom or the mundane of having to show up, or if we overcomplicate, it keeps us safe from having to do the work and we can just think about it some more. I think these are some nuances that I certainly have experienced, the people that I've coached through, going, stop thinking about it, stop overthinking it, just go and take the action. And through taking the action, it trains the brain to become the type of person you need to become in order to get the results. And like, that message is pretty simple, but it's profound, right? I'm sure you cover, I haven't read your book, by the way. I feel like I need to grab it now. Think simple and win big. I think it's so important.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the subtext is how to build the business of your dreams with a few simple goals, right? So, and it's a blueprint. It's the stuff that I learned. I mean, I'm 60, right? There's stuff I've learned over 40 years of being self-employed, employed, you know, up against it. it's, you know, there's so much that I've learned, and it's sort of just a blueprint of this might be how you would, you know, in a service-based industry sort of go through life and, you know, set things up to improve. And I did it as a vanity project, to be fair, right? My first book was called Goals Do Come True, and that was predominantly for people in the financial services industry, my peers, right? So it was like, look, you know, guys, this is, so there was lots of references to life insurance, and then it sort of occurred to me that there's probably a wider, you know, not everybody's a financial advisor, but there's a heck of a lot of business owners. So maybe, so, you know, it's a rewrite in that regard. But it is like a step by step, and it's, you know, about your mindset about these things. I mean, I'm fairly relaxed about life, right? You know, there's loads of stuff going on in the world, right? Loads of stuff, but I've realised that there's a lot of it I can't do anything about. So I'm not going to use up any energy on it. That's the first thing. And then there are events that do affect me directly, and then I have to consider what my reaction to them is going to be. And there's always a positive that you can find from every event. And if you have and look and seek for a positive reaction to an event, then you'll invariably have a positive outcome. And it's a simple formula. E plus R equals O. I picked it up from Jack Canfield. None of this stuff is unique. You know, it's just we nab bits from here, there and everywhere. And it's like, so, you know, but you've got to credit the people when you pick up stuff, you know. But there's a lot of people out there that events happen. They have a negative reaction to it. Consequently have a negative outcome, and if that becomes a bit of a habit, life's pretty poor as a result of having that attitude. Now there are some events that, you know, you can't have anything other than a negative reaction to, you know, a family member dying. I mean, you're going to have a negative reaction, although you can go, well, you know, very often people die, unless it's by accident, they die when they're ready. You know, they've had enough and they just subconsciously tell the rest of their bodies, like, I'm done here, let me go. And so we've got to celebrate that. They've done everything that they want to do and they've gone. So, you know, you can find positivities in everything. And if I can't do anything about it, I just don't bother. I can't use up energy.
That message and what you're sharing, and nothing has meaning apart from the meaning that we place on it. And I think there's a wisdom in going, everything will be what will be, or like everything is falling into place as it should. And there's maybe an element of spirituality or magic thinking towards it. But in some regards, as you say, like, life is unfolding anyway. It's going to continue. The ups and the downs, and, you know, the shit is coming. You know, the bad things are going to be at your door. Who are you going to be when it shows up? And if nothing has meaning apart from the meaning that we give it, isn't it just going to be so much more beneficial to give it the meaning we want it to be?
Absolutely. And all you do, all you
sometimes
need to
it's
do
really
is take
hard.
Well, it is hard. But sometimes you just have to relax into it, take a step back and have a think about it.
Yeah, that's it. So I wonder, in your journey and the people that you've helped and the business owners, you've walked through your processes and your systems and really being able to achieve goals, what kind of attitudes or maybe even strategies have you seen towards setting goals and achieving goals that kind of mess them up from really executing and realizing their true desires?
The big one is making it too big too soon.
Tell me more.
Right. So, or having too many big ones.
Okay.
I would suggest that you have one big, hairy, audacious goal, right? Your big purpose. And if you've got too many of those, right, it divides and, you know, I'm going to say divide and conquer. I mean, the lack of progress conquers you in that regard because you've got too much going on in too many different areas. So you do need to focus. So that is, and I'm going to be honest, I'm suffering from that a little bit at the moment. I've got three businesses that I go, I support a charity. I'm the chair of the board of trustees. I've got a life outside of work that I want to do lots of stuff in, but you get two or three businesses going and it's like, well, where do you put your energy? It has a value to me in so much as I can, depending on how I'm feeling, I can dip into a creative one if I'm feeling creative, and if I just need to get on with something else, I can just get on with something else. But I think having too many big, hairy, audacious goals is going to stop you. That's the first thing. If you've got one and it is too big, then your subconscious is just going to say, well, that's not going to happen, mate. You're a loser. It's just not going to happen. So it won't find the information that you need to help you achieve it. I mean, Dan Sullivan says 10 times is easier than 2 times, so that needs investigating, I would say, because the thing is to 10 times your business, you've got to think considerably bigger ideas, right? If you're a small business owner and you're turning over 50K, right? And you think, right, next year I'm going to do 1 million. If you've never, ever, ever, ever been anywhere near that sort of figure in your life, your subconscious is going to go, hold on a minute, loser, right? You've got 15 clients, you've got this. And I know there are people out there in the world that happen upon a TikTok video that turns them viral, and all of a sudden they've created a coaching program out of a TikTok video, right? And they've had a bit of luck. But that's 2 out of 100,000. That's definitely not for typical, us regular folks.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It reminds me, what you're sharing.
These overnight sensations.
It reminds me of self-affirmations. I can, on those days where I'm not feeling so confident, I'm not feeling like a winner, I can stand in the mirror and say, but Dan, you're a winner. You're a confident, powerful man. And my brain is going, no, you're not. Bullshit. So setting goals where it's like, I'm going to go and do X amount this year. There's a part of me that's going, no, you're not. Bullshit. You've got no idea how to make that happen. So breaking it down into smaller chunks, it's really, really valuable. I think there's a level of belief that needs to go into it. But as you say, still have the hairy, audacious goals, the ones that scare you. And so what I'm hearing is don't dilute the focus. Rather, get granular and specific on the focus and execute on those things. When it comes back to creating goals that are scary, there is a lot that we need to learn to step through that discomfort, through the uncertainty, through having to become the person we need to become in order to execute on those micro goals, micro wins to achieve the big, hairy, audacious goal, right? So it makes total sense that you say the one thing is do the one thing. The power of the one thing. I think there's a book on that, right?
Yeah, no, I think there's a book written on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I think there is. Is it Gary Keller? I'm gonna guess.
I'm not sure. I can't recall.
So that would be the thing, is it? I think I mean, we'll give it credit to him and, we'll apologize if we're wrong, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so many people, with how much evidence there is out there, how much conversation there is around goals, and yet still there's so many people, like one of the things that we see with all the greats, all the successful people, as you've said, like 95% of them are going out writing down their goals. And that we talk about this so much. yet there's still so many people that aren't setting goals. In your perspective, why is this? Given that we have all the reasons why we should do it, what's holding people back from, in your perspective, from just going out and doing it?
I think that so a lot of people haven't come across it, which is crazy, really. Or they go, yeah, smart goals, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, trackable. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been ramming that down our throat at work. And it's really just for them. It's just for the business. And, you know, I think unless you've experienced it and, you know, had a couple of slow or smaller goals to start with that you've managed to achieve, you can't develop that belief, right? So the thing is like, well, just give it a go. That's all I ask. That's what all I ask of people is give it a go. Start with some easy ones. And you'll be surprised what information is out there in the world that's going to help you achieve things. Okay. So one of the things that I share recently is you don't know what information is out there and how important it is to you. And that's why you need to feed your subconscious with the information of the goals it is that you want to achieve. You need to tell your subconscious that you've already achieved it, because that creates a cognitive dissonance between what is reality and what is the instruction to your subconscious, because it can't work it out. It's just like, you know, you're telling me this has happened, but, you know, that doesn't seem to make sense with what I'm seeing. So actually, I need to work towards achieving the thing that you're telling me that you've already achieved, right? And that's why your goals have to be written as if they've already been achieved. I earn X amount of money. I own, I ride, I drive, you know, I am. All of these things, it's as if they've already happened. Now, if you go down, I don't know if you, we call them supermarkets, right? But it's a shopping mall, if you like, or, you know, just somewhere where you can get all your food and everything. They sell absolutely everything, right? And it's been there for 10 years, right? And you've walked in there for, you know, once a week for the last 10 years. And you've just decided that you're going to take up photography as a hobby. And you walk through the magazine section, which is the one section that's always there, and it's the first section that you walk through. And because you've now decided to take up photography, you see 10 magazines in the magazine rack, all about photography. They've been putting the magazines about photography in the magazines racks for the last 10 years, changing them either monthly or weekly, right? And you've walked past it every single time you've been to the supermarket and not seen them. Now it's important. Now you see it. And your brain protects you actually from all of the stimuli that you see on a day-by-day basis, because it goes, that's not important, that's not important, that's not important. You know, the air conditioning in the background is not important, so it cuts it out until somebody says, oh, your air conditioning's a bit noisy, and then all of a sudden you hear it again, right? Or the young mum whose baby's snuffling away two rooms away, she can hear it because it's important. But so you have to tell your subconscious what it is that it needs to look out for. Otherwise, it's just going to protect you from the information. And then you have to move forward. You have to go down the corridor so that the doors can at least open, so you can have a peek inside and see if there's stuff in there that's actually going to make a difference to you. But that's why it's so simple. Because you just have to tell it what you want and it will find it for. But all the rest of the time, it's protecting you from this stuff. You don't need to see all of the pictures on all of the magazines, the fly fishing ones and the, you know, the remote control things and the computer magazines. You don't need to see all of those pictures because they are of no relevance to you, right? And just you would be stopped dead if you spent all your time looking at it. And it's of no relevance, so you just walk past. Once you start giving the instructions to your subconscious of what it is it needs to take you towards this cognitive dissonance situation that we find ourselves in, I own a 1200 custom Harley Davidson Sportster, right? It's like, okay, you start, it's crazy, but it's so simple.
It is so simple. I love it. It reminds me of a story I picked up from somewhere, or the orange car theory. You know, go out, you know, yesterday, how many orange cars did you see on the road? And you'd be like, I don't know, maybe you could guess. But then if I said, come in tomorrow, I'm going to give you $50 for every orange car you see, you're going to know exactly how many orange cars you saw.
Exactly.
And so that perspective, when you're looking for it, you can see it. And I think that makes so much sense when it comes to goals and achieving our goals and writing it down. If we write it down, now we're looking for the evidence of having achieved the goal, or what we need to do to achieve the goal and get the outcomes that we're telling our minds that we're getting. And I think a lot of that is the science behind the law of manifestation, a law of attraction. Mm. People talk about it from a woo-woo sense, and I have total respect from it, because if we talk about it from a scientific perspective, they actually overlap. They come together. And you're like, well, actually, yeah, it makes sense. Whether it's a law of attraction or the reticular activating system, feeding our minds for what it is that we need, it's so important. I love that. Going back to what you mentioned at the very beginning, what holds people back from, or like they're not going and achieving their goals and writing them out too big or going after something too big. I see goals and in a bigger picture, life as a game. And going and playing a game that is too hard, I want to give up. I don't want to play the game. And then on the other side of that, if the game is too easy, well, I'm not going to stay engaged with them. Like, why would I want to just play at level one my entire life? And then so I check out of the game as well. And I think there has to be a sweet spot. And I think that sweet spot, like you said, is go out and do it and find out where that sweet spot is. So you've got just enough challenge that you want to stay playing the game, but also that it's not too hard that you check out, and it's not too easy. They're like, well, there's no purpose in this. There's no benefit in it.
Yeah, if you've got a one-year goal and you hit it in 2 months, it wasn't big enough, was it?
Yeah, a great feedback, though.
It is dream feedback bigger. That you're go on the right. Yeah, exactly. You've got to dream bigger in that regard, but you didn't challenge yourself enough in the first instance. You know, it's something that you could achieve in a year. And this is the thing about it as well. You know, if you set a one-year goal for something and you believe that it is achievable, right, you will hit it. Now,
yeah,
sometimes you'll hit it in 8 months. Sometimes you'll hit it in 14 months. Does it matter? If you didn't have the goal, you would never hit it at all.
Mm.
You know, I've got one of my mentees, he saw me speak and we got in touch, and it's a few years ago now, but at the time, she was about to sell her car to release the money in her car to pay her mortgage payments. Right? And I know for a fact that and this is less than 5 years later, and it was a big mortgage, in about 3 months' time, she's going to clear her mortgage. Didn't happen in a year, but she managed to clear a, I don't know, 15-year mortgage in 5 years because she had a goal.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's just most people use the frosting on the ice, on the tip of the iceberg of their brain's capability, you know. And you can listen to podcasts, that's easy enough to do. You can read a book. For most people, that's easy enough to do. You can listen to a book. For most people, that's easy to do. All of these things are available to you. Now, you can decide that you want to listen to fiction and all the rest of it all of the time, or you can go, no, I'm going to listen to something that's going to challenge me and give me some thoughts and ideas and, you know, things to improve my life. You know, you could sit listening to something instead of binge watching Netflix, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, just every now and again, you do need to binge watch Netflix, you know, got to catch up on Game of Thrones or something like that. Just every now and again, but not every night.
Not using it as escapism from life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goals are such a huge topic. There's so much that we can share in angles and perspectives that we can come at it from. And I think, like, what you've shared today, there's so many nuances and message and value segments. I think we could do a whole, well, you have done a whole podcast on goals and broadening and like dissecting all of these messages even more. In your experience over the years, and from my perspective now, you've shared your age and how long you've been doing this for, many years, what is the number one teaching that you could, like, anyone could use to elevate their success with goals? Now, somebody tuning in to this and going, okay, well, I'm already kind of setting goals. I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job-ish. What is a broad, like, approach or teaching or something that anyone could go and use, implement, and elevate their success with the goals?
Okay, so my suggestion is that you write them down daily. Mm-hmm. Okay, as your starting point, you write them down daily. Tomorrow, when you write tomorrow's goals down, you don't look back at the ones that you did today.
You don't look back.
You don't look back at the ones that you did today. You write.
Awesome. So just to be 10 goals. So just to be clear. Okay. So are these daily goals, or are they the same goals from the day before? Like, are these goals for today, or these goals for what period of time would you be suggesting here?
Right. I want you to have 10 goals. 10 lifetime goals, right? One big, hairy, audacious goal, right? And a few others. But write 10. Mm-hmm. Might be a weight-related one, or but this is the important thing, okay? The reason that you rewrite them tomorrow is that a goal today might be important today. And it's not important tomorrow. And it's not important the day after that. But what happens is, if you write them down without referring to the ones you wrote previously, gradually, over a period of time, the really seriously important ones that you can realistically buy into, you will start writing them first. So they are like cream in an old style milk bottle, right? Mm-hmm. They rise to the top. They sit at the top of your list. And that's why you have to, over a period, You write them. Don't think too hard. Don't get too excited. But just over sort of a period of time, write them without referring to the ones that you wrote the day before. And then come the end of the exercise, in 3 weeks' time, for example, there will be 5 goals that you've written down every single day for the last 2 weeks.
Right? Mm.
We'll allow little ones to come in and go out. They're okay, right? But now you've got the goals that you can then commit to a plan.
Mm, I really love that.
Right? You can commit those goals to a plan. You can go, right, well, that's the end goal. Now, how do I work it back? And you go, what's the realistic time frame? Oh, it's 5 years. Okay, so where do I need to be in 3 years? Where do I need to be in 2, in 1? Right, what do I need to do over the next 12 months? What do I need to do in the next quarter? What do I need to do in the next month? What do I need to do in the next week? What do I need to do today?
Yes. Awesome. I really love...
You can't apply that to every single goal, which is why, you know, if it drifts in and drifts out, right, that's fine. It wasn't an important one, but you don't do this exercise on every single goal. You give it, it's like, let's write them in. What are the creamy ones? What are the ones at the top of the list? What are really important to me? I'm now telling my subconscious that it's important to me, right? Now it can believe that it's important to you because you've written it down every single day for 2 weeks.
So good. Yeah.
Now we can create a plan for it.
It really aligns to what we're discussing in the last episode or one of the modules I created in one of my programs years ago, the transformational growth module. And in that conversation, something that I talk about is one of the challenges why people don't execute on their goals is because they're doing it from a place of like a perceived goal that maybe has been instilled in them from someone else, a parent or society or, you know, conditioning or whatever it is. And so it's like, oh, I feel like I have to do this. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But there's something within me. I don't care for that. That's not me. It's not who it is that I am, or what it is that I want, or whatever it is. And so I'm not emotionally connected to it, or I don't inherently believe that I can do it. I want to do it, or, you know, it's the direction I want to be going in. So I love what you're sharing there, writing it down. I can see, I've never considered this before in the past. I've never heard that before. So I want to really give a lot of gratitude. And you sharing that, I think it's so profoundly important. And writing it down, so you gave the example 3 weeks. I'd imagine, is there a defined time that you can execute on this?
There, right. If you're an entrepreneur doing this, right, you will get bored.
I was going to say that because I think, like what we're talking at the start of this conversation, is there's always the mundane of consistency. It took me years to really develop consistency within me. Consistency in relationship, consistency in developing my value, consistency in showing up to any part of my life. And I think business, that's what held me back in business for so long, because I wanted this need for spontaneity or adventure, or, you know, I used to be the adventurepreneur coach.
Yeah.
And like, I always just wanted to go out and switch it up, but success doesn't happen. Success doesn't happen without consistency. Do you have any insights on that, on how we can overcome, or, like, you know, follow through on the 3 weeks that you've suggested of writing down, you know, putting this into a ritual?
Okay. Well, as you know, spontaneity has a time and a place, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm being ironic, because how can it have a time and a place and it be spontaneous? But that's just my Brit humor, so I apologize for that. Okay, just when you said spontaneity, it just triggered. You know, I get triggered by the word spontaneity. It has a time and a place. No, the thing to do. The thing.
Plan
to
it in
do.
Advance. I'm going to be spontaneous now.
Yeah. And I think that's how we got in touch, because I saw the adventurepreneur thing, and you know, way back when, and that, like, oh my god, that's so awesome. So how do you do it? Right, it's simple. Right, we look at our emails, don't we? Right, we either use Outlook or Google or blah, you know, some system to look at our emails. And that same system has a diary on it. So just create tasks. Create a task that is repeated every day at 9 a.m. or 7:30 or 5 a.m. if you're one of the 5 a.m. club. I'm not. Doesn't work for me.
I love it.
At all.
Yeah, I love the 5 a.m. club. That's what you put
it in. I'm being dry. Yeah, I'm being dry, right? Okay. So it's whenever it, but, you know, you get up at 5 a.m., you do your thing. You've got a habit stack, right, that you've created, right? Or just add, when I get to my desk, I write my 10 goals.
Mm.
And it's just an additional habit to your stack.
Mm.
And if you need a reminder, you put a reminder in your diary, okay, with a little bing. But, you know, don't put it in the diary. I put all of my things that I need to do in my diary as free time entries. So, you know, if somebody wants to book a meeting, it's not blocked out by me, you know, checking my Monday board, for example, right? So I've got 3 or 4 little things that I need to do each day. And, you know, what happened was when the thing ran out, because I put it in for 6 months, say, you know, I consistently did the habit for the 6 months. I checked my Monday board. Now, I didn't necessarily check it at 9 a.m. And this is the other thing. right? Also put all of these things at the beginning of the day, not at the end of the day. Right? Because if you put them at the end of the day, it's like, oh, you know, you might not be in the office or where you need to be able to do it. And so, I'll do it tomorrow. So put them at the beginning of the day, habit stack them, right? And then you get your pings and you go, I'm either going to dismiss that or remind me in 2 hours or whatever. And then you can just tick them off. So writing your daily goals is just habit stacking.
Yeah. Habit stacking is so good. Insert Atomic Habits here by James Clear. Fantastic book on all of that. 5 a.m. Club, you got me going. Morning Mastery, that's the program that I'm running at the moment. I love that you're echoing that message and doing it in the morning, of course. What I'm hearing through this message is, and I love the whole concept of, there's so many habits that we do through the day. Like all the people that I work with, they're fantastic at showing up for their clients and showing up for other people. When we schedule something like setting our goals or deciding who we're going to be for the day, or, you know, doing our personal development, we're scheduling ourselves first. And I think it's just such a wonderful demonstration of showing ourselves that we matter, putting ourselves first and putting it in the morning, but even before starting the day. I think that's the wonder of the 5 a.m. Club or the Morning Mastery Club that we're going through in Parallax Transformations. Because now there's really no excuse. We're just showing up for ourselves first. And I love that. That's how you bring consistency in the way that you recommend it for goals as well. One of the things I notice as we continue to have these conversations is there is themes that run through. And once we can install this idea or this approach in one area of life, it happens across all areas of life. And success starts becoming easy. Just have to stop running away from it and start leaning into the challenge initially. And then it becomes easier.
Yeah. Yes.
So
definitely.
Good.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all the wisdom that you've shared. I hugely resonate with a lot of what you shared. Really wonderful reminders for a lot of it for myself. I know for a lot of people that are listening, and so many new angles. I think these conversations, especially around goals, we hear so much of this bombarded at us at different ways, different times, through different people, different messages. I think the more that we hear these messages from different people, it's like joining different dots, different pieces of the puzzle, different ways that we can lean in and absorb the information and the approaches to it. So I really want to give you so much thanks and gratitude for all of what it is that you're doing, what you've shared here, but also in your own community. How is it that people can get to know you more, the work that you do? If they've loved this message, get in contact. Where would you suggest them to start with all of what you have to share? Because I know you've got a lot.
Well, I think the starting point, and you can go off wherever you want from there, is my website at dougbennett.co.uk. I'm based in the UK, so that's why it's not .com, right? It's dougbennett.co.uk. So you've got my blogs on there, my podcast episodes, you can links to my book, but then you can then hop over to Facebook if you want. I'm on LinkedIn, obviously. I do have a group that I go into, the Wealth Tribe. And basically, if I'm recording a podcast episode, I'll go live into the Wealth Tribe so that people can, you know, see right at the beginning what's going on there. And then I was doing a weekly live, but that becomes really too complicated. So, you know, I'm going to ease back a little bit on that with the messages. That'll probably go fortnightly. And then I have my daily post, which is, right, well, what are your 5 goals that you want to share today? So the Wealth Tribe is, you know, a good place. You can see videos of me and my dry British sense of humor.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Once again, I really look forward to seeing all the work that you're putting out, your progress and your business, but also the progress and achievements of the people that you're really serving in that community. Sounds like a lot of great accountability. Accountability in community must be one of the top factors up there in really achieving more in this world, especially surrounding ourselves by the people that are going after similar goals to ourselves or playing at the level that we want to be playing at. So I can imagine and probably attest to how or confirm how valuable that would be. So thank you once again for joining. I look forward to seeing all of what is to come, and we'll catch up again soon.